Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7. Nate, are you back there? I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Can you do this? Can you take the sermon and animate it to elegant? I didn't do it. Do you know what I'm talking? You're going to have to shut it. Well, I'd have to shut it off back here. You could animate it to elegant. Is that possible? We'll see if you can get it. The rest of you in Matthew 7, and half of you are saying, what in the world is he even talking about? Am I right about that? But I know I had you do it one time before, and I think you got it. So I will see if we can do it. Matthew chapter 7. Again, if you look here, it's a parallel passage to what was already read over there in the book of Luke. But it is our memory verses 7 and 8. But I'm preaching on 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. I want you to go back with me and think in your memories. Okay? Remember, I spoke on Matthew 7, 7, and I started off by thinking and asking if there is somebody, looks like you got it, if you are thinking of somebody that you want to ask a question of or ask a favor of, if you don't ask it, why don't you? We came up with some reasons maybe why we don't ask favors or ask questions of some people, and some of the reasons may be like, well, when we ask them a question, they make fun of us or make us feel small and bad if we ask a question. You ever had somebody do that to you? I'm so glad that God upbraideth not, if you know what that means in the Bible, when we come to Him. Or maybe we have some people we don't ask a question or a favor of because we know if we ask them, they won't do it anyway. They won't do it. Or we know that they don't have the ability to do it. And so, you know, if you can think of something and say, well, I'm not going to ask Pastor Rick because he absolutely knows nothing about this. And why would you if I know nothing about it? And so there's a lot of reasons why we come up as to why we don't ask things. And again, it comes down to our view of God. If you think God is just a mean person who's going to make fun of you for asking Him for something, then you won't go to Him. If your view of God is somebody who doesn't care about you, then you won't talk to Him. If you think God is a powerless God that has no ability to help you when you need help, then you won't ask Him. But if you have the right view of God and who He really is, you know what? You'd pray every day. You'd talk to Him about everything. Because you'd realize, and so again, one of the things I did with the last sermon that I preached on Matthew 7, verse 7, it's a couple weeks ago, and with this sermon is trying to get a right view of God, so when it's time to talk to God, and that's all the time, we'll do it. Instead of saying, well, God doesn't care about this, okay? He absolutely does care about these things. And He wants to answer us. I think I put up a theme statement if I remember. Okay, the theme of these verses, again, you've got five verses here, and the theme is Jesus invites His followers to ask the Father for His graces, again, for His help, whatever you want to call it, ask for them persistently, and ask in confidence because of God's great love. Again, ask persistently, ask confidently. Is what we're looking at here. Again, as we gave the other sermon, again, I think point one was ask. That's all I got over. Okay? That's all I got over. Point number two is ask persistently. We need to come to God, and we need to keep asking Him for those things that we want. Again, I'm going to do it this way. Verse 7 was basically stressing the commands. The stress, if you want to like mark or highlight something, in verse 7, the commands are highlighted. Ask, seek, knock. When you get to verse 8, though, we're going to change it because we're now stressing the results. What are the results? If you ask, you'll what? If you seek, you'll. If you knock, it'll be opened up to you. So again, if you say, well, why did we repeat verse 7 and 8? They sound pretty much like the same verse. It's kind of an emphasis thing. Emphasis. And, again, watch this. We are reading the written word, whereas this was a sermon Jesus was preaching. So it is possible that when He said verse 7, His emphasis of His words were on certain words, but then when He almost repeated Himself, the emphasis was on what? Other words. But when you read it on the printed page, it doesn't quite come out like that. For everyone that asketh, receives. Everyone that seeks, finds. Everyone that knocks, it shall be what? Opened. Can you hear Him preaching that? It was the command. Now it's the results that we're looking at. I want to do something here if I can. And again, I don't do this a whole lot. I leave it out, but I think it'll help you just to see what's happening here. And I do this because I remember one time being in a preaching meeting one time, and a man said that if you're going to do translation in the Bible, you have to do a one-word to one-word translation for it to be accurate. And I sat there and put my hands under my legs and knees and tried not to say anything. Okay? That is so far from the truth, it can't even be close to the truth. You cannot translate from the Greek to the English and do a one-word for one-word translation. Okay? Does everybody understand me? Now, this is how we're going to do it. When you quote verse 8, okay, how many words do we use? A lot. In the Greek, there's barely any words in it. It's very short, okay? And I'm going to get to that. Just do that. But again, these words are what I call one-word present tense participles that describe a kind of person. Okay? When we describe people, we have to use adjectives or adverbs or something like that. Okay? Basically, the Greek language adds suffixes and prefixes to words to give you all that, so it just becomes a bigger word. But it's one word. Okay? And so that we understand that. Okay? So basically, the idea is, because it's a present tense participle, and again, I'm way out of my league now talking, but as long as the English teacher keeps shaking her head, I'm doing good. Okay? But it's a present tense participle, so it's not, you know, it's not basically that everyone that asks, it's everyone that is always asking. Those who are praying, those who are constantly talking to God, the always asking one. Does everybody kind of get that there? The always what? Seeking one. You know the next one, right? The what? Always knocking one. Again, I know that we've got it, but it's just one word in Greek. And it means the always asking one, the always seeking one, the always knocking one, okay? So if you say, well, why don't we memorize this in Greek then? It'd be easier because it's not as many words. Because the words are really big, okay? But you understand, again, the idea of present tense participle. Pray without ceasing. That's the theme for this year. So that you get it there, okay? That's the who, okay? Here's the reward. It goes along the same way. Okay, these are present tense results. Okay, keeps on receiving. Okay, keeps on finding. Okay, keeps on finding the door opened up to him. Okay, so that we get and see exactly what it is. I thought I'd let you see it this way if you want to. Okay, there's your two words. Now, it's Greek. I italicized them. Okay. But it literally means, okay, in the King James, everyone that asketh receiveth. That's, so you see the Greek, and when they were done looking at the Greek, that's how they translate. Notice it's no one word for one word translation, is it? Okay? Two words in Greek, how many words up there? Five. Okay? You see that? Two words in Greek, okay? Four words. He that seeketh findeth in the King James, okay? Notice, anybody want to memorize those words for me? Those are tough words, are they not? Okay? To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Okay? And that's how the translation. So otherwise, we could just kind of memorize six words and we got the passage done. Otherwise, we've memorized what? A passel of them. But you see how we're getting it here. So I'm going to put it all together. Can I do that? Okay? The always asking one keeps on receiving. Does anybody want to go to the next one? The always seeking one what? Keeps on finding. And you got this one. The always knocking one keeps on finding the door open to them. Okay? Maybe it comes down to something like this, okay? And, you know, as I think about this, if you've ever been in a state of mind or heard somebody in a state of mind do something like this, why do they always get all the good things in life? Maybe they're the always asking one. And that's why they're always what? Receiving. Why do they always have all the good things? What's so special about them before God? Where they're always seeking, and therefore they're always finding. They're always knocking, therefore they're always what? Getting the door opened up. So sometimes when people say, well, why do they get all the good things in life? Okay, I'm not saying that, okay, you're not praying, but if you're not, could be the answer. You have not because you... I think I just sang that, did I not? That was in the opening song, was it not? So if you're ever thinking, well, boy, I never get anything good, look at your prayer life. Check it out. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that, again, that you'll get everything you're praying for. Stay with the sermon and you'll see that. Okay? But you have to understand that it's present participles, present tense. It's not past tense. Things are going to keep going on as we do them every day. So pray without seeking. And then I kind of put this down here. As you talk to people that have a great prayer life, notice they not only ask, but if they don't get answers, they seek. They don't just ask and seek. If they don't get that, what do? Then they knock. Okay? They just don't give up. And by the way, if you're asking, well, what point am I under? If you remember the big point two that I just gave you, the big point was ask persistently. Does anybody know anybody or anything in your life that's persistent? I got a cat. That cat's persistent. Okay? All I know is, again, most mornings, I'm not saying it's all mornings, but some mornings I wake up with an alarm clock or I get up at a certain time or whatever, and as soon as the alarm clock goes off, that cat's trained and is standing right there, ready to go. So as I get out of bed, that cat, I mean, it just lets me have it. Meow, 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 meow. So I go feed the cat, okay? Now somebody tell me why I go feed the cat. She will not leave me alone until I go do it. That's the truth. It's either that or pick her up and throw her outside, okay? Those are my two choices, okay? But this is the funny thing. It could be a couple minutes later. That cat hears my wife scurrying, getting out of bed. What's she do? Runs right to my cat. Meow, 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 meow. Next thing you know, I hear the cat being fed again. And a lot of times I try to yell to my wife, I just fed the cat, okay? But that cat knows if I just get in there and make some noise, I'm going to get food. Okay? Now, you might say, well, Pastor, it's your own fault. It probably is. Because if that cat would meow, 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 and we would never what? Feed it, it would finally say what? I'll give it up. All right? But you notice, the cat's smart. And we ought to be smart like the cat. When we ask, when we seek, when we knock, what happens? You get things. You get things. Okay. And so, again, I put down here, people that just ask and you don't get it, well, they'll ask again. All right. I was kind of thinking, I know I was preaching a sermon, had it written since the beginning of the week. But yesterday, you got to understand the situation. We are in the food booth up at Penn State. Okay, we're setting this whole thing up, and there's lots of jobs that need to be done to get set up, and everybody does a great job, but all of a sudden I noticed that the labels were not out on the front of the counter to label the drinks, and so I needed masking tape, okay? Everybody says they know what I did. All of a sudden, I just yelled what? Where's the masking tape? Who knows where the masking tape is, okay? And everybody just kind of looks at me like, well, we don't know where the masking tape is. And so I was kind of like, so nobody knows where the masking tape is. Okay. Well, that wasn't good enough, folks. We have to have the masking tape. So I walked around to the back and started looking around. Next thing you know, there was a plastic tub there or whatever. There's some papers in it. I started going through the tub. Ah! I got the masking tape, okay? Now, again, I just give the illustration. Not that I'm the perfect person, but just because when I asked and nobody knew where it was, folks, that wasn't good enough. We had to have masking tape. Is anybody with me? You're familiar with the job? And I got it. 5 seconds later, who's got the Sharpie? Who's got the Sharpie? I went and looked for the Sharpie. I couldn't find it. And all of a sudden, somebody came around and said, hey, I found the Sharpie. Or here it was. Okay, I did go look in the tape. I couldn't find it. But somebody got it. I tell people, you know what? If I'd have needed masking tape and never asked, maybe I'd have found it. But the Sharpie, I even went and looked for it, but because I made enough noise in that booth saying I needed a Sharpie, I got the Sharpie. Okay? Then basically, I took the masking tape and the Sharpie and put them in a specific place. So the next person who said, where's the masking tape? And I think it was you, was it, Mike? I think you needed to label cheeseburgers and hamburgers. Ah, I know where they are. Okay? But you know what? We had to have it. Just saying, where is it, and nobody knows, that's not good enough. Okay? We're going to go to the next action. We're going to get involved in this and do what we can. You ask, didn't get an answer. It's not good enough. We're going to do more. We're going to seek, and we're going to knock. We're going to keep it up there. Again, we need to keep being persistent is what we need to do. Come on here. There we go. All right? Be persistent in our pursuit of what we ask is what we need to do. Again, the illustration I give you was read to us earlier by Brother Bob Mahalik, again, about the man who got some unexpected visitors in the middle of the night, and he had no food to give them. Doesn't sound like an American house. Is anybody with me on that? Doesn't sound like an American house. Well, our houses are pretty much loaded with food, are they not? Pretty much all the time. But he went to his neighbor. And basically the neighbor, I kind of got the idea that these guys weren't great friends. You know, because he said, though he will not come up and give him his food because he's his friend, yet he'll do it because of importunity. He just won't go away. He just keeps ringing the doorbell. He just keeps knocking. I mean, he knows where the bedroom window is. He's moved to that side of the house and he's outside yelling. Okay? He's not giving up. I don't know. Stones against the window. Is anybody with me? Okay? Did they have windows back then? I don't know. Okay? Stones coming through the window. This guy's not giving up. Finally, you know what? His wife rolls over and says, he's not going away. Go get him some bread. So what's the guy do? Gives him bread. The man goes away. Again, so Jesus says, that's what you need to do. Okay? Because you know what? Maybe God has the idea that if you just kind of ask casually and give up, you really didn't want it that bad. You really didn't want it that bad. You know? But it labels some of the importance that goes along with it. Again, I just put this statement on here. We need to pray together and encourage one another in persistence. Keep praying. Keep praying. Just keep praying. And keep going before the Father. That's what we need to do. Let's move on to point number 3, which is the second point of this sermon. However, it was ask persistently. Now it's ask persistently with confidence. Ask persistently with confidence. Again, when you go ask people for something, and I've told you this illustration before. I used to do it with my children. Okay? If my children came to me and kind of prefaced their request with something like this, you know what, Dad? I know you don't want to do this. I know you probably won't do this. But could we? A lot of times I listened to what they said, but I already made up my mind before they asked me. You had so little confidence in me that I would want to do something that you wanted to do? Well, if that's what you think about me, of course I'm not going to do it. Because you don't think I'm a very nice guy. You know, so I always tell my children, okay, just stop a minute. And I've done this, I did a couple times with them. This is what I want you to do. I want you to just turn around, walk out of the room, and let's try this all again. And come back in and give me some confidence. Okay, that what you're going to ask me, I can do it. Now, usually I'm smart enough to know this. I already knew what they were asking. And it was something that I was akin to doing. Usually I didn't go to this big length, but I knew the answer was going to be no. I wouldn't do this to them. But I'd say, now go back out and come in with some confidence this time. And they'd walk out and come back in. Hey, Dad, you know what I'd really like to do? And I think you're really going to enjoy it too. Would you like, can we? And I would be like, yes. And then I found out their mom sent them because, you know, they got better answers than I. You know, can we go out for pizza tonight? Yeah, we can do that. Great. Okay, because I was thinking I wanted to go out for pizza too. But I'd say, come on in with a little confidence. All right? Come in with a little confidence. Again, all of his answers to our prayers are only good every time. Now, folks, this is something we need to understand. You really need to get this. Yes, I know sometimes when we ask God for things, his answer is no. His answer is no. I'm not going to try to explain that. I'm not going to try to think that it doesn't happen that way. But we have to understand that God's answers to our prayers are only good every time. Again, having my grandchildren around the house right now, I am reminded of little children and foolish requests. Is anybody with me on that? I mean, they ask things that would kill them. Okay? They just come up with crazy ideas about things. And the answers are what? No. Okay? We're not going to do that. You know? And it amazes me some of the things they think are going to be fun. And they're going to die. You know? I got to say no. Okay? I don't know. Are teenagers better than that or not? I don't know. Okay? But I would not be a good grandfather if I go, oh, anything you guys want to do, Pop wants to do with you. I know some things these kids want to do, and that's not good. We're not going to do that, okay? I mean, you know, they want to stand at the top of the steps and knock each other down sometimes. We're not going to do that, okay? They just have great ideas of things they think is going to be fun, okay? Maybe I should videotape them doing this stuff, and I can make $10,000 on TV. I don't know. But you know what? But my answers for them are good for them. Now, you're looking at me. I'm a good pop. I am a good pop. From time to time, people get a little nervous about me, but I am a good pop, right? I know the things they're going to do. I'm not going to kill them. Now, don't think I put them in a little cocoon and we don't do anything. I remember a couple weeks ago, I took Gran up to the Little League World Series. And in between games, they were using cardboard and sliding down the big bank. Has anybody ever seen them do that? And so I just said, well, I'm going to send a videotape to your mom. So sure enough, Grant went up the hill, and boom, down he comes, and I videotaped him coming down. Flipped around when he got to the bottom or whatever, sent that to mom. And she said, nothing's changed. You allowed us to do that too. And she said, but you always said, now don't tell your mother. Okay? But folks, going down that hill on that cardboard, it wasn't going to kill him. They were fine. Okay? But again, there are other things that I have to say no to. Okay? They're not right. And God does the same thing. Do you believe that about God or not? See, that comes back to your view of God. Do you really believe that? Again, if somebody asks for bread, do you give them a stone? Now, folks, I'm a sinner. I don't do everything right. But I'm a good pop. And if my kids come to me and say, hey, can we have some bread, Pop? Do I say, 1 minute? And I come back in with a stone and say, here, eat that. Bible says even an evil person knows better than that. Okay? What are the two other illustrations? One of them is found over in the book of Luke. It's not here. But if they ask for fish, do I give them a serpent? If they ask for an egg, do I give them a scorpion? What's the answer to these questions? I don't do that. Am I a perfect person? No. I sin all the time. What about you? Do I always make right judgments all the time? No. But you know, these things are pretty clear. Okay? By the way, at my house, just so we laugh or whatever, it's not bread they ask for. They want Pop's butter crackers. I love Ritz. Anybody else here love Ritz? Everything's better when it's sitting on a Ritz. Anybody know that? And my grandkids can come in. I have to hide boxes of Ritz in the house because they can go through one box. And when they do, I want to make sure I got another one so when they leave, I got it. They love my butter crackers, okay? And by the way, when I'm at the store, hey, how are we on butter crackers? Okay, we call them Ritz, the Ritz. My wife said, oh, we're getting a little low. We're down to 3 boxes. Better get some more. They're coming over. Okay? I like giving them Ritz. I like it. Is everybody with me? I'm a good pop. I'm a sinner. But even I know that that's good. That's okay. See, so when you understand here that God's way better than I am, and if I even know how to do it, God's going to do these good things. Now watch, I'm trying to change, if you need it, maybe you don't, your view of God. God loves us. He wants to give us good things. He's not this mean guy, okay? He's not this mean guy at all right? And so he knows how to do that. So I just put this down, and I'm quoting this. I'm evil. Read Romans 3. It's all about me. And yet I even know better than to do that, give my kids stuff like that. I don't give them stones. I don't put stones in their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, okay? I don't hide scorpions on their plate. I never do that. And yet I'm a sinner. God's perfect. He's so much better than I am. That's why we need to come to Him and ask Him confidently in prayer that He's going to give us good things we need. Let's get this thing going here. All right, there we go. Again, then I wanted to put this down here. What a horrible fix we'd be in if we foolish creatures got everything we asked for, though. Am I right about that? I really think I am. And so again, when you come back to this and you understand that God is not looking to give us everything because the Father gives good things to those who ask Him. He gives good things. So even when I ask for foolish and harmful things, I can count on God that really He's going to give me good things. I can count on that. I serve a good God. He's my heavenly Father. He loves me. So even when I mess up the request, He's got something better for me. He's got a better idea that's going to work there or whatever. And so I just need to make sure that I keep following Him. Again, the Father knows how to good things to those that ask. Okay? Only a bad parent would give their child whatever they asked for. Am I right about that? Only a bad parent. I mean, I'll tell you what, you give your children something bad and they get hurt or something and, you know, your explanation is, well, that's what they wanted. You're the adult. No. Don't do that, okay? Again, that's it. By the way, I always told people, parenting is not by vote, okay? You don't sit around the table and say, okay, well, who wants to do this and who wants to do that? Okay, I go back to Abraham Lincoln. One time he had the cabinet. in his office. And I think the vote went something like this. They voted on something. He goes, well, it's seven nays and one yay. Looks like the yay gets it. Who was the yay? The president. Okay? The cabinet can advise. They can't outvote him. Okay? So you can understand that you're a parent. Okay? You don't do it just because you got outvoted in the house. You do what's right. The father knows how to give good gifts to his children when they ask. He knows when they're asking amiss. He knows when they're asking for things that the answer is no. And he knows when, you know, there's times that they ask for something and he says what? I can do that. That would be good for you. Maybe he tweaks it a little bit, but the father knows how to do it. I wrote some paragraphs down here. You can't put them on the screen, but again, I want to read them to you because I wanted them to be put some way. I didn't have them memorized. But this is in quotes. No, my child, what you've asked is wrong. Sometimes you do not have because you do not ask. But at other times you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. I love you too much to give you things to give such things to you. You are not asking according to my will for you. Be persistent. Learn my will. Keep asking until you ask according to my goodwill to give. Then I will gladly answer. So again, I kind of put that down. By the way, I learned this through the years. Okay, if my children wanted to go out to eat on a certain night or whatever. They knew what restaurants I didn't like. They wouldn't ask to go to those. Does that make sense to somebody? So if they thought they had a chance of going out, they'd ask things that I would like. I kind of use that as a little illustration, you know, asking according to God's will, you know. If somebody says, well, Pastor, what restaurants don't you like? The list is really small. Is everybody with me on that? Really small. I'm pretty one of those guys that eats about everything. Okay, caviar, I haven't attained a taste for that. Coffee's still out. Okay, so going to Starbucks, you're not going to win at that one. Hey, let's go to Starbucks. I'm out. Okay, nah, I'd rather go somewhere else. But again, isn't that God? He loves us. And even when we ask wrong and ask amiss, He knows what to do. I wrote this paragraph down. All of this means that I can ask persistently with confidence. We lay our request before one who is our Heavenly Father and who loves us infinitely. He desires to give us only what is good for us. And in His great wisdom, He knows what is good for us. He will never give us something bad when we ask for something good. But neither will He give us all that we ask, because not everything we ask is good for us to have. We can ask in abundant, absolute confidence in His love, and trust Him to answer only in a way that is better than our asking could ever be, even when the answer appears to be no. Now, just talking about God, folks, I'm in a place where some of you thought I'd never get this early. Done. Do you look at God that way? Or do you have this meany image of God that He wants to hurt us and not help us? And He doesn't really like us. Because you know what? We serve a God that loves us beyond all measure. He wants to give us good things. He wants to take care of us. And if we know that He is that kind of God, why wouldn't we talk to Him and pray every day? Does that make sense? So we come back to verses 7 and 8. Ask, seek, knock. Because you'll find, you'll receive, and it's going to be opened. But we've got to keep talking to Him. Father, I pray that You would help us to be better at praying than we've ever been. Because, Lord, You can't get any better than You've ever been. Lord, we thank You that You love us. Even when we ask foolish things, You turn it around to give us better things. Lord, You know what You're doing because You're such a good Father. Help us to have that view of You. And Lord, realize that we have somebody we can run to at an instant with our prayers every day. Help us literally to pray without ceasing. In Jesus' name, amen.